Blog Talk Radio.
It's 2019 and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
He's so damn huggable.
I love you.
The guys in Rat Rod are probably wondering, what the fuck is going on with all the dead air and silence? Well, that, my friends, is the lovely system called Blog Talk Radio. That's right. If you know Blog Talk Radio, you know they're a jumbled fucking mess. So welcome to the show. Happy freaking Totally Driven Tax Day. Bay Ragney here. The guys in Rat Rod are here. We're going to rock and roll. We're going to rock and roll Rat Rod style. So, you know, since we already lost like 2 minutes waiting for the music to play, let's just get right into the music. Let's go old school Rat Rod. I guess we'll be called OG Rat Rod. Is that what it'd be called now? Like, I guess it would, because we got new Rat Rod music to play in a little bit. So, let's see if this audio works, or we're going to have to wait like 5 minutes. Let me just refresh my board and make sure it's going to flip over. Look, it's taking its time. It's going to be one of them nights. You got to love it. Let's see. Here we go. The magic question is, will it work? It wouldn't be a rock and roll show without technical difficulties, would it be? Mm-hmm. Let's go to the first album. One of my favorite songs of the first album. One of my favorite titles of a rock and roll song ever. Ride It Like You Stole It.
Yeah.
they are. Philly, South Jersey connection. One of my favorite bands. Good friend, the one and only Rat Rod. Ride It Like You Stole It. And I got four fists of the guys on the line. Let's welcome to the show. We got Mark, Mike,
hello,
Little
hello.
John, and Elliot. What's going on, guys?
Mike!
Hey, babe! Yo, what's going on?
You forgot about Smitty.
Who?
I'm right here. Me, Mike Smitty.
Oh, Smitty's there, too?
I'm here.
Yeah.
I said Mike. Come on. What are
you said
stop.
Mike.
Of course I said Mike. How can I forget Mike? My first question of this interview is directed at Mike. I want to know. So you're ready for this? I want to know this. I would like at today. So to get myself in Rat Rod mode, I was driving like back and forth to my different destinations of the day, and I was on listening to the first album on The Lovely World of Spotify. And when Ride It Like You Stole It came on, it made me think. I thought to myself, like, what was Mike singing and writing about? Like, what did he steal? Was he stealing a car? Was he stealing a bicycle?
Yeah.
Was he stealing a motorcycle? Or was he stealing somebody's girl? What did you steal that you rode so well?
Mark sent me the music to that. And listening to just music, it just gave me this feeling of, like, riding a motorcycle. So it's really basically just about, you know, getting on your bike, man, and just
peeling off.
It's just got peeling off, going full throttle, on a side road or something, and, you know.
The beauty of music, though, is you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You can make it about riding
the
girl.
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, we're good boys. We don't steal anything. We just pretend we do.
We long-term borrow.
You know what it is? It's because we're all at that age now where we've matured and we don't actually, like, try to be the bad boys anymore. We try to, like, pretend we are, but we're really not.
Right.
Well, now we're at that point where it's like, hey, wait a minute. I could go to jail for that. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Or that's going to hurt.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
I still got time. But, I mean, we're pretty much all the same age, except for Elliot, who is a freaking – I'm going to put Elliot over right now. He's a freaking beast on those drums. Like, he beats the shit out of those drums. And I love watching that kid play. And Elliot, there was the news that broke like a month ago that Elliot was leaving the band. And it was like, uh-oh. Like, what's going to happen here?
Trust me,
Dad,
it was uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your words. Quite a scare, but now I'm here, you know? I love you guys, so I'm here.
That's awesome.
We love you too, Al.
Now, what was it like for you guys in the band, like, with possibly Elliot leaving? Like, I mean, how scary is it?
Well, it was about a 10-minute moment of, oh, shit. And then it was like, okay, what are we going to do? We immediately went into damage control, trying to figure out how we're going to fix it. Not with trying to keep him from leaving, but about trying to figure out how to get somebody to fill in to cover the dates we had. Because we had dates all the way through the year. So it's like, all right, we got immediate things we got to cover. Let's figure out how we're going to do this. So we started putting our heads together and working the problem. And thankfully, we didn't have to use our plan, but we had a plan in place.
Yeah, it was a surprising plan, but we had a plan in place. We're, you know, the three of us are pretty quick-witted when it comes to that. Like, we were right on it. Mark had called me up. I was driving somewhere. He called me up or texted me and said, hey, we have a problem, you know, and then we went, and Elliot called everybody and said what he was doing, and it's like, uh-oh, this is going to happen. Now we got to figure out what's going on, and we made a few phone calls, had a few people hit us up, and luckily, we didn't even have to audition anybody, thank the good Lord.
Wow. So it didn't even get to that part.
That we were,
I came back before, they held auditions per se, I guess.
We were a week, we were less than 7 days from starting auditions.
Yeah, I was kind of out of town a little bit for 2 weeks while Elliot was deciding what he wanted to do, so we didn't get a chance to do anything right away. But, you know, Elliot decided, you know, he likes us better.
You should have made Elliot like audition again.
Well, we did. He doesn't know it, but we did. We're still trying to decide whether we'll keep him or not.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I think the lesson Elliot learned, he didn't need to audition again. So, you know, it's only going to make him better because, you know, eventually Elliot is going to find something that's going to take him to that point where he wants to be. And we're all like behind him 100%, you know.
Nice.
And that was kind of the scary thing, is we were hoping that if he did do something, that it would take him that point and it wasn't just something. But I think, you know, he's over the last year, he's learned what to look for and he figured stuff out. And, you know, he, in his mind, hopefully he made the right decision. So, but like we all know, it's going to happen and he's going to wind up where we're going to be seeing Elliot on TV all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I mean, a bunch of real proud dudes when that happens too.
I don't think it was a matter of learning any lessons. I mean, he got an offer, you know, to go with a band that was, you know, about to go on tour and it needed a drummer and it was going to tour the United States and make money and blah, blah, blah. I mean, who the hell wouldn't jump at that? So,
then I got there.
Then, you know, but, you know,
I mean, like, I mean,
he met the guy, when he got into the situation itself, the people involved just weren't, you know, the kind of people that he wanted to be around every day. And,
right.
You know.
I mean, I said this to people. I mean, it's something hopefully everybody can relate to. But the people who are in the project are what make it all worthwhile. You know, it's like Dave Grohl said. It's like, you motherfuckers make this shit worthwhile. You know what I'm saying? It's about that, man. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, we all want a check and we all want glory and things like that. But honestly, these guys are cool, and that's it, man. You know.
I mean, you can relate that to a Skid Row situation where here's the five guys are still alive, the five original guys, and they could get together and they could get better paychecks, more dates, but at the end of the day, they would be miserable and they don't do it. Where Elliot had this chance to go and do a full time gig and make some money. And he realized that at the end of the day, he would be miserable. And he was like, nah, I'm happy in Rat Rod.
But the thing of it is, you're only with those guys for the enjoyable part of it for an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. The rest of it might be misery. The other 22 hours could be misery.
That's what it was,
right,
man.
So you've got to be able to get along with people.
Wow.
Or figure out a way to go away.
Yeah.
I'll be able to come back to it.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be here.
That's awesome.
We're happy to have you.
Now, how about, you mentioned you guys got shows booked pretty much up through the whole year. And actually, I've had this conversation with Little John where we were texting about this last week, where I said, like, there's like not really many original bands really left, I feel like, in the Philly scene, but you guys. It's like the tribute bands are really taking over. And I know a couple of you guys do play in tribute bands, but do you kind of like,
talk about that?
But do you kind of get to see it like with the original
scene?
I'm
still in the doghouse.
Really, you still what?
I'm still in the doghouse.
Come on.
It won't
be for
you?
A while, by the way.
Yeah, right, guys?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It just popped in my head why. But seriously,
yeah.
I mean, do you kind of feel like, like the original scene is like dying a slow death, really, like in front of our eyes.
Well, actually, you know, there are the problem is nobody goes out. Or if they do, they go out for 2 hours and then go home. There's a lot of cool bands. We've played with a lot of cool bands. I mean, just to show that them guys played 2 weeks ago with Lady Diesel and Babylon Shakes. You know, two great bands. You got bands like Boss Hydro, and you got bands like Scattered Hamlet. You got bands like The Pandas, White Trash Stars. There's bands out there. The problem is there's nowhere really to play. You know, the bar wants you to go on, and that's another story. The bar wants you to go on and start at 9 and play till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and nobody wants to hang out. You know, so it's really hard. Though when, you know, I get the text saying, hey, load in at 6 o'clock on Friday night, I'm going, how am I supposed to get there at 6 o'clock? Well, you know, damned if I do, damned if I don't. But, you know, it's that's the biggest problem is we're all older. You know, we don't want to be out till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, watching bands. You know, we do, and, you know, we all try and support. But, you know, when you're playing three times a month, that one night you're home, it's like, maybe I just don't want to go out of the house. So, I mean, but there's a ton of really cool bands. There's a ton of younger bands. Like, we played St. Patrick's Day weekend with a really cool band called Whiskey Drippings. They were awesome.
We played them twice
that weekend. They were freaking awesome. You know, we're going to try and do stuff with them. You know, and the problem is, you know, they're younger. They really don't have a crowd. You know, it's trying to get lineups that's going to draw people out, because that's the only thing that bar owners really care about is how many people come out, how much alcohol they sell, and how much money they make.
Yeah, they really don't care about what you play or anything like that. They just care about the beer.
I mean, if we could get gigs with like the younger bands that bring the younger crowds that do stay out till, you know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning like we used to, you know, I think, you know, a lot, you know, I think people would dig it. And, you know, I think a lot of the younger, you know, people would like it, you know.
I think that's a big thing right there, is trying to figure out how to get a younger crowd out to,
that's,
you know, combine. Yeah, I mean, combine with, you know, get some of these younger bands involved in the scene with our old heads, and, you know, mix the crowds and like, make the scene thrive again and support these original bands.
Exactly. That's, I mean, and, you know, like you always hear me say, and I try and tell this anytime or anywhere and do stuff, it's like, we might not be playing, but there's a ton of crap band or ton of bands out there at every bar. Go out and see somebody. You might find your new favorite band. You know, and it might be guys that you could see every other weekend. You know, or you might find two or three bands that you really like. There's a ton of stuff out there. You know, and we could drop names all day long from just bands that we've played with over the last year and a half. And it's, you know, it's amazing that there's a lot of younger people out, because nobody's really picking up instruments anymore. That's the one scary thing. You know, it's just everybody.
That's
wants
a whole
to,
other conversation you could have. I mean, I'm really involved with high school music, and I could tell you a bunch of conversations about that too. But, and that's another direction you could go into. It's just not the support for music the way there used to be all the way around.
Yeah. It's a head scratcher. I mean, for me, like, I don't understand, like, where the disconnect is, like, from how we would support bands as you know, our late teens and early 20s and until today, that we still do the same compared to what the younger generation does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in Northeast Philly, where you would go to the Empire on Sunday night and your friend would play, and then you would turn your back for everybody else. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
If I were to speak on the issue with my age, I mean, it's what everybody says, man. It's the technology, it's the phones, it's, you know, all the shit that's illegal now, you know, all that stuff. most people just want to tap on their phones and just find something that sounds cool, and then they download it, and then they go on with their lives. You know what I mean? Nobody's really going out to bars to see bands. You know, there's still people interacting with music in all types of ways, but it's very streamlined, and it's not a natural person-to-person exchange anymore, man.
And that's something we have not lost sight of. We're not just focusing on playing live in the local area. We focus on that. We are. It's important to us, but we are looking bigger than that. We've always looked bigger than that. From day one, we've made this a worldwide thing. There may be only 1,000 people who know who we are, but that's 1,000 people who know who we are.
Right,
and
right.
That's what we focus on. It's a bigger picture than that.
Well, rock and roll is a deliberate choice, man.
Absolutely. Some people are still just scared of rock and roll, too.
Yeah, well,
Mark always has... Mark has this thought process and saying all the time, it's like, it's kind of like KISS. Let's promote like we're the biggest band in the world. We may not be, but let's promote like we are. Like, it's a thing. Like, hey, you need to listen to this. And that's a lot of the problem with a lot of the bands out there. You know, they think, well, I'm so-and-so or I'm doing this, people are going to love me. Well, that and, you know, the $10 you spend for your CD is going to get you nowhere. You know, like we are trying whatever we can, and it's all about Instagram content, YouTube content. You know, like I kind of fought Mark and Mike on starting the album because I didn't think we ran the other one. But, you know, I've come around to realize, hey, if you could throw a little teaser here or, you know, as you know, we've had this discussion, me and Mark are big wrestling fans. We do a promo for every show at our rehearsal, and, you know, we harken back to, like, the Hulk Hogan Macho Man days, like, because that's where, you know, we grew up as kids. You know, we try and do something that at least maybe someone remembers or is like, and they're like, that was kind of funny. Hey, they're playing Saturday night. Let's go. So, you know, like, it's all about getting content out there to people. You know, that's what...
I'm at a point in my life where I don't care if you laugh with me or laugh at me. As long as you're laughing, you'll remember it. And then maybe you'll come see us.
Hell, they put me in a hood 2 weeks ago to punish me.
You deserve that, dude.
I know.
So do you want to tell everybody what you did to get punished there, Little John?
I double booked. But it wasn't my fault. But, you know, I double booked. And it turned out that both bands went on at the same time. So our rhythm guitar player, Matt, got a really quick lesson in how to play all the songs off of Do You Remember on bass in, like, 3 days and one live rehearsal. And, you know, he pulled it off. And, you know, I give him all the credit in the world for doing that because not easy.
He never played bass before.
No, at least not live in front of people.
Yeah,
if he's here to tell you, he'd play around with it at home, he'd noodle around with it, but he'd never played in a band situation on stage with him before. So they were
in Newark, Delaware on stage at the same time I was in Barrington on stage. So I got there in time to see Babylon Shakes, which is another great band, but I got there in time to see Babylon Shakes.
Do you walk in the door with your head down?
No. Come on, you know me, babe.
Yeah, he walked in, head held high, smiling, going, yeah, I fucked up. Here I am.
You know me better than that. It was more attention on me.
The Little John brand flourished that night.
Yeah.
Well, it was the best Rat Rod show I ever played. Right, guys?
What was that?
I said that's the best Rat Rod show I ever played.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah.
And that was a fun night.
So you guys have a new album. It's getting ready to come out. The new single officially came out today called Lightning Strikes. Now, with the new album, like the first album, it was all Mike and Mark. I mean, it was just you guys. You guys didn't even have the full band together at that point. So
right.
How different was it working on this new album now that you had the whole band
in
place?
It was really cool. The writing process was fairly similar, where the music would come mostly for me, although Bryce has got a song on this record. But most of the music I came up with, Mike came up with the melodies and lyrics for every one of the songs. We demoed the stuff, brought Elliot in early in the process to get the drums down how we wanted them to go. And then once we were all ready, we brought the whole band into the bunker and cut basic tracks and built the record from there. So it was a cool experience.
Yeah, very cool, man.
Yeah, it was something different than I'm used to doing. It was kind of cool because, you know, it's funny, I've been busting on Mark for the last couple of months and calling him a slave-driving bastard, because you'll play something and he'll be like, yeah, that's okay, I think it'll work. And I'll be like, God damn it, I got to do it better. And then I go and play for another 22 times, and Mark's like, it's getting close, I think we could go with that. God damn it. But, you know. Or it'll be like, you know, here, I got this
today.
Well, you know.
Today. Is that to you, Elliot?
Well, Elliot's was already done.
Elliot's was done in December.
Bro, I'm the slave driving bastard of my own shit, bro. Like.
I think I'm going to get a shirt with a badge in the front that says, just has the SDB running a big bad.
Yeah, I say that
in the most lovingly way, too.
and I'm taking it that way, too, of course.
Fuck you.
The writing process was basically the same. You know, Mark and I just have this. I can't explain it, but there's this chemistry we have, and he'll come up with a riff and he'll send it to me and I'll be like, yeah, it's killer. And then a couple of days later I get a new email with the whole thing done, bass and drums on it.
And it's just my interpretations. I don't dictate how
right.
these guys should play.
With,
this is just what I think.
With Mark playing bass and drums, obviously, just so I can have something that is, so if I have a full song to write, you know, the lyrics and everything to. And then once that's done, and we have a full song, then we just hand it over to the other guys, Elliot and John and all, and let them, you know, put their what they want to do on drums or bass or whatever. You know what I mean?
They make it what has become Rat Rod.
Yeah.
Up to that point, it's Mark and Mike. But when they get their stuff on it, then it becomes Rat Rod. And what Mike didn't mention is important to mention is that every once in a while he'll send me guitar riffs, and I'll work from ideas that he sent me before.
Yes.
So there's a couple songs on the record like that.
Yeah, Mike wrote some riffs.
Actually, yeah. I mean, Mirror, Mirror, Ride It Like You Stole It.
Yeah, there's the genesis of both of those songs with Mike, and I arranged from there.
Oh, cool.
And then
that's cool. How about that, Mike? See, we didn't know that.
I mean, and one on the new album, My Disease, it's called.
Yep. And what normally ends up happening is he's got, let me show you this. He shows me this progression or something, or a couple of little parts of it.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, we can work with that. And I'll take it. I'll make a little recording of it, and I'll start stirring in some spices and add a little paste to it. And next thing you know, we got a tune out of it.
What I feel in terms of drums, what I feel when I first, kind of like what Mike said with Ride It, just that gut feeling you get when you hear this tone, when you hear this. You know, this song is just like, oh, man, this sounds real nasty, or, oh, this sounds like a little mellow, you know what I mean? And honestly, if you try to, when you try to put too much spin on it, that's when it becomes kind of lifeless, you know? So it was kind of like the first record, and that it was just, you know, it's gut, man, you know?
There's a certain amount of shoot from the hip in what we do.
That's yeah, and if you, if you, if you, if you listen to the first album, what was recorded, and see what became between, like, me, Elliot, and Bryce, and then eventually Matt, it kind of grew. So, like, the songs kind of got a life of their own. Well, with the new album, it started out growing right from the beginning because everybody got to put their own little taste, their own little influence, their own little style. Because,
yeah.
You know, it has that three-chord rock, you know, Chuck Berry, AC/DC heart to it. But now you have five guys as opposed to two throwing what they grew up on or what they listen to when they're not listening to Rat Rod, you know? So it's got a little bit more, you know, it's growing. So it's not straying far from home, but you know, it's got a little bit of a family vibe to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And to anybody out there who might be interested in this, it never will stray too far away from home.
Yeah.
There's a certain thing about this that will always be. We may go a little to the left, a little to the right, a little forward, a little backwards, but it's always centered in what we do, and everybody knows what we do. Who knows us?
Yeah, man.
Yes, we have a tone, we have a feel, we have a vibe. There might be a little bit of icing on the cake, but it's always going to have that, as I always say, three chords and a cloud of dust following us around.
Well, hell, if AC/DC can do it for almost 50 years, why can't Rat Rod, right?
Right. Why not?
Right.
Did they ever put a ballot out? I don't think they did.
No ballot.
Funny, yeah, we was actually told by very recently by somebody I just met, blah blah blah. They heard a few of the songs and they said, you know what? You know, there's something about you guys. You're like so like different. It's like you got like such a unique voice and the sound, and but the songs are. It's I love it because it's like. It's different. Like that's what he kept saying, and I was like, "Oh, thanks, man."
And it's so funny because we don't really try to be different.
Yeah,
it's not a thought process to be different,
right?
At least as far as I'm concerned, it's not.
I think it's like classic with a modern spin. You know,
it was really funny. Back when we opened, I think it was for Angel. A buddy of ours, mine. You may know Tommy Stewart was in Christine. Now he does a bunch of the ELO project. He came up to me after our set, and he was like, "John, that was so refreshing." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You know, most bands today try to be Aerosmith or Guns N' Roses, and that's what they try and sound like." He's like, "You pulled something that nobody's doing. It's like, it's a little different." And you know, everywhere we go, we get the same thing. So, like, you get that comparison to Bon Scott with Mike's voice, and you get the comparison to Malcolm with Mark's guitar riffs, but you got Mark's soul and Mike's soul in there, and, you know, it gets its life of its own. So, you know, we haven't broke it yet, so let's keep going.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Don't try to fix what ain't broke.
That's what I get a lot. I always hear, "You guys remind me of AC/DC, but different."
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you know, you guys, but it's different.
Do you get tired of hearing that though? But do you get tired of like hearing like, "You guys kind of sound like AC/DC"?
I say thank you very much. That's high praise.
we wear it like a badge of honor.
I take that as somebody, as a girl telling me I look like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You get that a lot, Mike?
And they said I sound like Beethoven. I'm like, "Oh, all right, cool. I'll take that."
That's cool for me too, man. I tell you what, there's not a lot of kids that I know that are doing this.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's
right.
Really cool. You know, to see, hey, you sound you know, your band's cool. You're killing it. You know what I mean? From a goddamn adult. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
oh, shit.
Right.
But he actually meant that. You know what I mean? Like, and these guys have been around the block. You know what I mean? They've seen some shit. Right? So it's really just, it's super cool when we get compliments, man. You know?
Hey, well, Ellie, we keep it at the same time because we know, I said this in an interview though a while back, that we did not invent any of this. This is nothing new. We're just, it's just our take on it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
I got to ask Elliot, is that ever weird though for you? Like when you have, like say you're at a club and you just play this blistering freaking set and you're like trying to like, you know, load your equipment up and get done so the next band can get on or whatever. And maybe some guy who's never seen you guys before, or an older guy, could be half shot in the ass or whatever, comes over. He's like, dude, you guys are just fucking amazing. Is it kind of like holy shit, like here's this guy, like, more than double my age, and I just blew his freaking socks off.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get most of that after while I'm playing. You know what I mean? Most of the time, it's just like, holy shit, these guys that I'm playing with, you know, I can serve for them. That's already where I'm getting my fill with that. And when I get a compliment, you know, I gave my all, and they're just like, man, you guys got passion. We like your songs, things like that. I'm just like, hey, man, I got a phone call. You know what I mean? Like, I was given parts to play, and I just learned them, you know? So it really is cool, but it honestly keeps me wanting to do this shit more because it's like, okay, if I got one guy coming up, most of the time I don't think people come up because they know how old I am. You know what I mean? They're just like, why is this kid in here? You know what I mean? Like, but
actually, they're embarrassed because they're not as good as Elliot.
Yeah, I think everybody's scared of me.
That's funny.
Scared of one of us. I'm not sure which one of us.
Hey, actually, you know, when I hooked up with Mike and Mark, because I was the first person that Mike recruited, and I'm listening, and we had the conversation, Bay. About a month beforehand, I told you I would never play an original band again. Mike sent me the tracks, and then I ran into you at the Rough House and was like, dude, you got to hear this.
Yeah, you
and
were blown
now,
away.
And now, after like a year, there's people who I've looked up to since I was a little kid are now, you know, my peers and guys that at one point were like, hey, you're not good enough, dude, are now like, wow, your band is, like, freaking awesome, you know, and even, like, playing, like, some of the, like, listening to the CD or, you know, some guys that we let listen to a couple of songs here or there, and these guys are people that I've looked up to since I was a kid are, like, blown away. It's just amazing, and it's, we caught lightning in a bottle with the five personalities we got, you know.
Yeah.
It's just everybody puts their little 5 cents in, and you know, we go out and we have a blast, and that hour and 10 minutes, whatever we get to spend on stage, you know, together, it's like, it's some of the best times I've ever had being a musician, you know. And I've been doing this since I was 18, you know, but I haven't had this much fun in I couldn't even tell you how long.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it too. It's just great fun. It is just a freaking blast.
Yeah, man.
And the music we make, the five of us together, just sounds so cool.
And the five of us all have that attitude, like we want to be first, we want to be in front, and we want to be the center of attention, which just makes everybody else play that much better or try and show off that much more that, you know, it shows the people. And like I always say, you know, growing up in this area, we learn how to put on a show. Like, you're not going to see us staring at our shoes or just standing there because that would be no fun. So,
one of our heroes had that same problem, and that was the Who. They were like that. They were constantly competing against each other. I think they were a lot more outward than we were. We just have fun with it. We just got
out
of it. But they were outward competing against each other. But that put on
you
a
know,
show. They did it.
We don't compete.
Yeah.
I honestly don't feel any. I don't think anybody's competing against anything. I mean,
yeah, as a drummer, I serve everybody.
I mean, I can personally say that everything I do on stage is nothing's planned. I just I'm just going with how the music is making me feel. It gets me like that fist pump. It gets me. That's why I do it. Like I can't explain. It just gets me like, yeah. Like, I just, and it's not an ego thing. It's not that I, believe me, none of us think that we are thinking like the great band in the area or any crap like that. We just have fun, and the songs we write are, we just try to write fun tunes and rock and songs that, you know, I don't know, that are going to get your foot tapping and, you know, and have energy and just, and, you know, when you're on stage playing these tunes, they, for me anyway, it just gets me like moving. I can't help but like I said, do that fist pump and whatever else.
Oh, come on, we've talked about this before. You punch the air.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, it's so funny.
Like, I never planned it. It just started doing it because I was like, just like, yeah, you know, like I'm just like, I feel it.
It's the beat, man.
Mm-hmm. It's that back beat.
It's so funny. Like, we go and we get to like certain clubs and we'll walk in and like it'll be a small stage and I'll look at Mark and I'm like, we're gonna kill each other tonight. And he's usually like, oh boy. Because, you know, it's like you're ducking headstocks, you're ducking mic stands, you're ducking mic punching, and it's just like, it's just out there having fun, you know? You just got to be aware of where the other four guys in the front, or three guys in the front are, because Elliot basically is always in the same spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, occasionally you'll get hit with a broken drumstick, because that's happened a couple of times. But, you know, but it's like, you gotta like, watch Matt's, you know, headstock, watch Mark's headstock, Mike swings around, you know, I swing around, you know, it's kind of fun. Like, when we did the show for you at the Rusty Down, it's like, we walked in, I, like, looked at Mark, I'm like, uh-oh, one of us is going to die tonight, because that's
small stage.
Oh,
yeah,
that was a good night.
Yeah,
I missed. It's funny because I remember that, and I misjudged the distance from the wall. I went to lean against the wall, and was about another foot away from myself. I almost fell right on my ass, right in front of everybody.
I think Matt almost did too. He went the other way. He went to duck.
Yeah.
It was like Mike was spinning with his mic stand. I ducked, almost hit him with my headstock, and he went to the wall. But, you know, hey, it's a battle wound. Who cares?
Yep. All part of the rock and roll celebration.
We got some people calling in. Actually, somebody had called in and hung up from a 215 area code. But we got another caller. You want to take a call?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, this is area code 302. You're live on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Matt. How's it going tonight,
hey,
guys?
Hey!
What's up, man?
Welcome to the party.
Yo. What's up? How's everybody doing tonight? Yeah, well,
yo,
better
man,
late
good,
than never,
good
right?
To hear you, man.
At least I, you know, I'm like, well, John, at least I showed up.
That's it. You're here.
I know. Well, hey, I showed up just a little late.
My man adds some spice to the sound, you know?
Yeah, man.
Well, now that Spicy Matt's here, we got another caller too. Let's take this one now. Area code 267. You're live on
this
here.
Is gonna be Bryce. Watch.
Yo, what's up, man? It's Matt, bass player from Springbrook. What's going on, Rat Rod?
Hey, brother.
What's up, man? Just really enjoying listening to you guys. I just figured I'd give you a call. Say what's up,
dude. You guys rock, man.
Hell yeah, bro. Is the new song? When is it airing? Like, when is this happening?
Well, it's out there now if you want to go listen to it.
Oh,
hey,
it's out there now. Okay, I thought they were, like, talking a little bit and then playing it. I didn't know.
All right, well,
yeah.
Let's do that. We just keep babbling and babbling, and people want to hear the music, right?
Where?
Yo, shout out to
cool, man.
Well,
hell yeah. I was
great,
just checking in with you guys,
with
man.
Yep.
We always have a good time, brother.
All right,
appreciate
brother.
You.
Sounds good.
See you, man.
It's on Facebook now. I mean, we put it up this morning.
Well, they want to hear it now. They don't want to hear it on Facebook. They want to hear it on
Facebook
radio.
Go for it.
So let's
rock
the fucking
up.
All right?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Here
You're
it
the
is.
Boss.
Brand new.
You're the boss, babe.
And I've been putting it out there, and I don't care if it's been played on other shows, or I don't care if it's been played on Spotify or Facebook. I say fuck them all. This is the world premiere on Legion Radio Rocks. Here's brand new Rat Rod, Lightning Strikes. It is the world premiere Rat Rod Lightning Strike. Yes. There it is.
All right. And
so
that's going to the conversation.
Are you guys going to do a video for that?
Yes. We are.
Can't tell you the timeline yet, but yes, we are going to do a video for it.
Okay.
Actually, I'm just going to stand out. It's going to be a video of me standing outside with a kite with a key on it, getting struck by lightning.
You were supposed to spill the beans, man. Come on, dude.
That would be funny.
Hey, man, I'm throwing some ideas out here.
That's what you do. Something goofy off the hook like that. People would like start sharing that. Like, look at this lunatics.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because we know how hell-bent society is on watching people get hurt. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That would work.
Exactly. Oh, man. That's too funny.
Yeah, but Matt, with your luck, you'd actually get struck by lightning.
Yeah, it will probably do me some good.
Yeah. One and done.
Oh, man. So the new album is called Light 'Em Up. When is it actually the full album coming out?
The release date.
When I get my guitar part finished.
I was say, the release date hasn't been settled yet. We're looking at mid to end of May.
Hopefully,
second week
of May. Hopefully.
Yeah. That's the timeline I'm working towards. We'll have to see how things work out, though.
A couple more weeks. We just got a few little things to finish up, and then
a couple of odds and ends. Nothing major. A few little things to square away.
I'm going to tell everybody. Yeah. I have the full album. I've heard it. It's fucking amazing. Like, these people, they need to like really get on the Rat Rod bandwagon, and before this blows up and people are left behind. Like, yeah. This is a good one. This is a really good one. I'm psyched.
Hey, we ain't leaving anybody behind. There's plenty of room on our bandwagon. Don't worry about that. we'll let the latecomers come. Not a big deal.
Now, one thing that really it stood out to me, and it's funny because when I was in me and Little John text conversations that involved things other than Gritty or Oreos, I said to him, I said, the real first thing that really stood out to me was Mike's voice, his vocals on this was different. It wasn't just the same style through the whole album. He changed it up on different songs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Definitely. And again, like everything else, it was not conscious. It just was what the songs called for. And he's got an incredible musical sense when it comes to knowing the right word, the right melody, the right inflection. It's just part of what drew me to him in the very beginning was like, holy shit, he gets it.
Yeah, this time I actually got to see Mike like make some vocal parts, and it scared the shit out of me a little bit. I was like, oh my god, you know what I mean? Like he walks in, he's got his book, you know what I mean? Opens it and he starts singing. It's like, oh shit.
You got to see the donuts.
Yeah, man. Tell me how you feel, like, man. You know, that's just a musician, you know.
He's a humble dude. He'll tell you he's not a musician, but he is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My thing on it is I have the utmost respect for Mike because playing-wise, I don't listen to Mike's words. I listen to Mike's cues and his inflections, and that's where I get my cues from. But, like, sitting down and reading and actually having the finished product or post finished product, I don't usually listen to music as a whole. I usually hear parts, but sitting back and just trying to listen as I would be if I didn't even know these guys or if I was just someone listening to it in their car and actually hearing Mike's words, he floors me sometimes with what he comes up with, like just the concepts and how he comes with his lines and how it all just comes together. It's just sometimes it totally amazes me. And I
like Come With Me is one of my favorite ones right now. I love that tune. I can't wait to be
so
playing
clever.
That live.
Which one?
Come With Me.
Oh, okay.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike
knows what my favorite one is. And that there's a whole backstory behind that, but like just in that, like the first time Mark played it for me, he's like, dude, this is Mike's new one, and it's no surprise to anybody that, you know, one of mine and Mike's biggest influence was Kelly James, and he wrote a song that pretty much is a Dead End Kids song, and actually got in, you know, the tribute to him, and it was just like, I was floored. I was like, oh my God, we need to start doing this live.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, how about
just,
that? I mean, now you're going to have two albums of music to choose from. Have you guys, like, already started, like, what's going to make the cut from the first album now onto the second, you know, these new set lists now?
Oh, that's the next fight between us all.
And there's so many good songs. I think it's pretty well settled that Mirror Mirror stays. I think it's pretty well settled that Do You Remember Rock and Roll stays.
Right. And Rat Like Me.
And Rat Like Me stays. I think those are solid. The rest of it's up for debate.
Maybe Ride It. I think Ride It is a fan favorite. You know, but that's only four songs. The rest could probably be this new record. You know,
it's a tough thing. You only got so much time.
Hey, it could be worse problems out there.
Yeah.
You know. And now comes the fun part of actually, we have an album. Now we have to go back and learn it and how to play it live.
Yeah.
Just
that's
like the real
favorite part.
Oh, yeah, there is the song John's talking about. Yeah, there is this, the second verse of that song is dedicated and about, basically, actually, it's about Kelly James. And,
well, we can say the name of it. Bay's got the record.
Bay's got the record.
It's Lone Wolf Rider.
Lone Wolf Rider.
Yeah.
Cool. Now I'm going to go back and listen to the words of that.
But it's really funny because Mike, I was at Mark's house and played me the rough scratch tracks, and I heard the lines that Mike's talking about, and I was like, holy cow. And then as we were listening to the rest of it and it started to come together, I just was sitting back in the rehearsal studio going, wow, we started to end this song. The way the lead break comes in and the way it just is, it was like, it wasn't planned again. It was just how it came about, like divine intervention or something like that. But I was just like, this is amazing. Like, I love this song. But that's just us tooting our own horn, sorry. But
you're loud.
But yeah, like I said earlier, Mike's writing ability is, it just amazes me. Like, we have another song on the record called Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
That if anybody hears that one, you know, yeah.
The actual full title is Peacemaker, Ballad of Tombstone.
Yeah. Just to kind of tip the hand a little bit.
So that gives you a little hint.
See, now Bay's gonna have Jess up all night because he's gonna be listening, trying to figure out all the little Easter eggs we're dropping in his head.
Yeah.
And then she'll be kicking you out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jess.
Oh,
I'll get uninvited for Easter dinner.
Come on now. So where will this be available? What fine places can we buy, listen, stream, purchase?
Once it's all finalized, I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment here. It'll be pretty much everywhere. It'll be on iTunes, Google Play. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be on Spotify. Hopefully, we'll manage to get ourselves on Pandora. It'll be available on CD Baby. It'll be available through our website. It'll be available through our web store, which is through our website.
Shows.
It'll be everywhere.
At shows.
At shows.
So
most importantly, at shows. Come get them at the shows.
Yeah, we'll be doing the CDs shortly after we release the full record. So probably CDs in June, I'm thinking. It's just rough planning right now.
And the reason why there's a little bit of delay on some of the stuff is because it takes a little time for the aggregators to get that stuff out there. There's a whole process behind all of this when you release a record. It doesn't just go out and all of a sudden it's there. It goes out and it gets sent to these places, and they got to do their gyrations, and then it gets put out. So it's a delay of anywhere from 2 to 3 days to 2 to 3 weeks before things get finalized.
Yeah.
It was funny. Hey, John.
Go ahead, Beck.
No, I was going to say, go ahead. I'll bite my tongue.
Okay. Now we were actually talking, and we were discussing about just releasing one song a month, and then wait till the end where you could get a CD at a show just to get people to come out. But I think that kind of got shot down because it's easier just to get it out on all the forums and people all over can get it, as unless you're not in this area. But just again, going back to just trying to do to get people to come out.
Yeah. We still might do some special things for each song, too. Who knows? We haven't really discussed or settled on anything in that regard yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we could do. So who knows what might come about next 6 months or a year.
Hell, we might wind up in the bunker doing extra songs.
You never know. Put stuff in the can. It happens.
It kind of happens every time you get to practice. You know, that first 10 minutes while everybody's warming up. Hey, look, that sounds pretty cool. Let's record that.
Yeah. And I've got a phone full of riff ideas already for the Rat Rod 3, whatever it's going to be called.
Exactly. Yep. There's actually some stuff. There's actually a few tunes already in the works for the next one.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Rat-trois. We'll call the third record Rat-trois.
Rat-trois. Oh, that's awesome. Now, the thing I was going to say was, like on this one, like I didn't know Mark or Mike at the time of the first album and all that with the release and everything. But this, I started getting emails from you, and I see, you know, the promos going on and everything. So I mean, it's a real thought out process doing all this releasing and everything, like you say, and then getting it to all these outlets. And I mean, it's a whole freaking thing.
Yeah. It there's not much that's to chance. There's a plan for just about everything in terms of the business part of it.
Yeah,
the music is shoot from the hip sometimes and go with the gut feeling, but the business part of it is really methodical and thought out and planned out.
Yeah, there's nothing that happens on that end that's by chance. It's all. We have an idea. We know what we want to do, and like I said earlier, Mark's idea is like Kiss, promote and act like you're the biggest band in the world, even though you might not be. But
right.
Nobody else knows that.
I do now.
You spilled the beans, John. Nice, good job.
You know, hey, Matt spilled them earlier. I get it.
Sorry. The reality is the reality. We know who we are. We know where we're at. But the whole world may not.
Right. Well, just, you know, we're sure. Local bands having fun and hoping that people like it and spread the word, and just like all the other bands. You know what I mean? Really. I mean, we're all in the same boat. Everybody's songs they can. In every band, you know, they're writing songs their best off and hoping that people like it.
We're no different.
Yeah.
What's crazy is when Mark pulls up the map of all the people who listen and tune in and things like that. We got fans in, what did you say, Switzerland and
New Zealand,
South America, I think. It's come a long way, actually, since just, you know, Philadelphia and the bunker, you know. We got some people overseas who are ordering picks and things like that, and it's like, oh, shit.
Germany.
You know, like, that's some real crazy shit, man. So,
you know, if we had the internet back in 1985, Bay, you know, all of us would have been rock stars, you know what I'm saying?
I know, right?
We would have all been rock stars, like, in the 80s, because now it's like you put something up and you get calls from, like, four or five different people wanting to review it. Hey, we're going to throw it into this magazine. I mean, you know, we're in a magazine where Michael Schenker's on the cover. Like, it's like, I would have never thought that would ever happen. So, you know, it's just amazing that what you can get out there with the internet, you know, and it's a whole different, you know, world. Like, Elliot always asks, like, how did we promote when we were younger? And I'm like, we used to go to Kinko's.
Flyers. Staple gun.
I can't tell you how many Sunday nights I went to the Belmont Post Office and mailed out mailers. God, I hate doing that.
Kinko's even open?
No, I think you got to go to the UPS store now. Like, you go to Staples and do it now, I think.
Yeah, I thought I'd go for my stuff at Staples.
Yeah, that and calendar cards.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's kind of as well as with mailers. I call them mailers. Yeah, calendar cards. Yeah.
So it's one person puts up an invitation and you share it 4,000 times and hopefully you get, you know, 10 extra people at your show.
Right.
The numbers don't seem right there, does it?
No, not at all.
Nah.
It's never been a real strong numbers game.
4,000 invites and 10 people show up.
Yeah.
I love those 10 people, though. I love those 10 people.
Exactly.
Yep. I'd rather have 10 really loud people than 100 quiet people.
Well, you know what? Maybe those 10 people will like it, and they'll go tell and bring 10 more.
But with us guys in Rat Rod, whether it's 10 people, 3 people, or 500 people, you know, we put on the same exact show no matter what.
Yes.
Because we don't see past that front of that stage. We just, when we look out there, it's a packed house no matter what. And, you know, if I take a night off or Mark takes a night off or Matt takes a night off and there's one person there and they're just like, they weren't that good. Well, you know, that's your one missed chance. So
Matt,
we don't like to give up.
Nights off, let me tell you.
Yeah. You know what I would say with the nights off, they were just nights not on.
Looking all the way, that's Mark. Mark is always on the positive side.
Yeah. You know what? I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, technically.
Nobody's perfect.
It's rock and roll. It's not supposed to be perfect.
You know, there's going to be nights where, you know, you don't feel good or, you know, whatever. I mean,
but you still give it your all.
But
you put the best thing forward you can.
Yeah, but, you know. And by the way, real quickly, I just want to say thank you, John, and Mark for the kind words.
Yeah.
I mean,
you speak the truth.
I'm very humbled, believe it.
The truth.
Dude, you know we love you. Now it's getting to be a love fest.
Yeah.
It's about to get gross, guys. About to get gross.
And we love you too, Ben. You know, you've been there.
I love you guys.
We appreciate you. We support you, you know.
As long as they keep doing the Oreo reviews, I'm happy with them.
You know, figure out a way to incorporate this in a live situation, right?
Oh, I've already done it. They showed up many a time, and I brought them Oreos, right,
I'm
Bay?
Talking on stage with Rat Rod somehow.
Come on, Bay. We'll do it.
I like a good Oreo now and then myself.
I think space is the best.
I think we should throw Oreos out to the, like, the
No, like, just like, you know, who wants Oreos?
He's stealing my gift now.
You know I'm gonna go and, like, now I'm gonna, like, graphically design a Rat Rod Oreo. You
there
know,
you
so it'll be a package with Rat Rod logo on there, and
if anybody buys a CD, gets a free pack of Oreos.
There you go.
Boom.
No, they get a free Oreo. They don't get a whole pack.
and Rat Rod Inc. goes broke.
Well, see, that's what the tribute band is for, right, Mark?
Yeah.
support the Oreo habit.
Hey, I told you. I know I got a problem.
Oh, man. So, all right, where should we send everybody to like, love, follow, support, and become total Rat Rod Freak?
Well, it all begins with ratrodrocks.com, which is our website, which will direct you to everywhere else. But we, if you want to go direct, we're on Facebook at Rat Rod Rocks. Same with Instagram, Rat Rod Rocks. We're on Twitter as well, although our presence on Twitter is kind of weak because, quite frankly, we don't get Twitter that much. But we're on there nonetheless. We're on Spotify. You can just search Rat Rod. Unfortunately, the way Rat Rod is on Spotify, you have to do it one word. Rat Rod is one word. The way they did it. Same with iTunes. You have to search it that way on iTunes as well. It's just the way
and
they
Amazon
did it.
And Amazon also.
Is it that way on Amazon? Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all begins and ends with our website at ratrodrocks.com.
Hey, it'd be worth it just to watch our promos every week. We always come up with something stupid. And funny and, you know,
speaking of promo, we'll be playing the Fire this Saturday.
That's right. Thank you.
Playing the Fire, Gerard App, Philadelphia, fucking Pennsylvania. Come out, guys. You know what I mean?
We'll tell you about it Thursday night as well. We're going to do a little something for that. Don't know what it's going to be yet. We don't ever know what it's going to be, but it'll be something.
Yeah.
See, we need to incorporate Bay in there because he's got the wrestling promo experience. You know what I mean? He teaches a thing or two.
we need to talk offline about that.
Absolutely. We'll talk.
We'll harken back to like the pre-Chubby Dudley days.
Ooh, there you go.
Ooh, my. Ooh, my.
This Saturday, April 20th, at the Fire.
We get to actually play Philly this weekend?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Crowning, Sister Salvation, and, oh, geez, I forget the fourth band. I apologize.
If you all are listening, it's not personal. We're just old people forgetting our memories here. Myself, not you.
See, Elliot here remembered that. He's got the good memory.
All right, go.
Nah, I didn't read the message. Just come out, guys. You know what I'm saying? Show up to the Fire. It'll be a great time. You know, we always put on a great show. So, you know, come out and
Fire.
Support rock and roll. And maybe we'll hang out and, you know, tell you all about the new record and things like that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, stop by and say hi.
Shows are going to get real hot.
We'll have new T-shirts soon. We're going to have all kinds of new stuff.
We always got merch, too.
Get that merch, people.
Yeah.
Cool.
We got to get Bay the red shirt now because he's got the black one he wears all the time. We need to get the maroon.
Yeah. That shirt's going over really well. We could get more of those.
Yeah.
People like those.
Yeah, so I can do my new shirt sniffy with it.
There you go. Actually, we'll get a picture of Gritty on the back.
Okay, so the groups for Saturday night are us, of course, The Crowning, Sister Salvation, Night Mission, and Famous and Fallen.
I think we played with them before, right, Mark?
We played with Famous and Fallen before at Red Stallion.
Yeah.
Yeah, three-piece funk ska kind of band. Really cool. Cool dudes.
Night Mission. I think I heard one of their songs. It was really cool. Sister Salvation.
Weren't they the ones opening for and Nita's Way up in Reading? I don't know any new bands, but what? they're giving away tickets or something. I think he messaged us.
Yeah. Hang loose on a second here for that. Yeah.
I think it's $10 to get in, basically.
There was something about a ticket thing, yes. I forget what that was. I'm looking right now.
They were opening up for somebody. We don't read our emails that often. Or we don't remember our emails.
My problem is what I need to open it on is on the phone that we're talking on right now. So I can't.
Oh, See, Bay, you didn't think you would be on this long, did you?
You know what? I didn't. But it's all good.
At least you had a few laughs.
Yeah, man. It's always a lot of fun. We get good music, good conversation, learn more things.
Messenger. So, yeah, we're having a good time.
Oh, yeah, and on that whole bass thing, I'll be doing all the bass tracks on the next record, by the way. Just roll through.
Love talking about the guitar.
Ouch.
And won't be the first time.
Yeah, right. Totally, right.
Will John be wearing a hood for more shows?
Hopefully not. Hopefully I'm not and don't, like, double book. But, you know, hey, who knows? Okay. Sister Station are offering free tickets to their show Saturday, September or Saturday the 27th with Adela's Way. I don't know anymore.
Adela's Way.
Yes. In Easton at the Square One Center. To anyone who attends Saturday night. So not only do you get to see four bands, according to them guys, you get a chance to go up to Easton to see whatever the band's name is. I'm not good with Zoom music.
Adela's Way is a really huge band, like in the modern world of like Sirius XM's Octane Station. And the lead singer's actually a film.
Yeah, they're from around this way, or these parts, aren't they?
Yeah. The lead singer is Rich.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Good dude.
Yeah. I'm still stuck in 1978, so maybe 87. So there's and if it is new, it's that whole, you know, English or, you know, Swedish glam rock. So I don't know much of the new modern stuff, which is bad on my part, because I should.
Yep, you should.
You should. Good stuff out
there. See, that's where Ali helps me out. He keeps throwing me stuff to check out.
Yeah.
Check these guys out.
Yeah. He's like, nah, man, those guys.
Yeah. Stop.
No, my head's always like, oh, you know, here, listen to Green Day. If I wanted to listen to Rancid, I'd listen to Rancid.
I heard on the Arctic Monkeys, and he was like, "Man, you guys are not for me." You know what I mean? They're one of those like big Coachella headlining monsters, you know, and they don't even sound like a rock band anymore. But I think that stuff kind of keeps the inspiration for Rat Rock, kind of, you know, because everybody's got their thing, you know. And I keep telling the guys like my. You know, I wouldn't have learned how to play drums if it weren't for other records. You know, I people who love ABBA and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's always a fun joking about what bands we listen to and things like that. You know what I mean?
It's always a fun conversation to ask what you've been playing lately, what you've been listening to lately.
Yeah.
My radio station in my car right now is 70s on 7, on satellite.
Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of disco. I listen to a lot of funk. A lot of 70s pop rock. This is kind of not even close to what we play, of course, but it's cool. The melodies were awesome. The songwriting was awesome. Most of it was.
I always tell Mark he brings that country guitar vibe. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, especially in his playing, man, it's just like, man, it's just, you know, it's real fire. You know what I mean? And everybody's just like John said, they come through and We just love hearing each other play. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I see what you had there. Even Matt, you know what I mean? He pulls out some tricks, man. It's just like, oh shit, what was that? You know? And he's like, it's just this little, you know. That's the cool part about playing with guys who've been around. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, man, this is what I do. This is what we do.
And what's cool about Ellie is he's a student of music, not only literally, but just in life in general. So he'll pick out things that you do, and you don't even realize you're doing it. He'll go, hey, you just did that. And I was like, what? I don't know. I'm just fucking around.
Yeah.
Got an ear for that kind of that out. Pretty cool.
Very, very cool. Yep. So, all right, well, let's wrap this up, guys. And
all right, yeah. It's way past my bedtime.
I want to thank you guys for doing it. And
thank
you for the new music, the new album. It's my little secret right now. I get to share it with myself.
Well, thank you for your support.
Yes, definitely.
You know,
exactly.
we appreciate that more than you will ever realize.
Shout out to Entertainment, man.
Yeah, you've been there from the beginning. We appreciate it more than you know.
And
absolutely.
Not only for your support, but your friendship. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We go back a long time.
Right on. You guys are the bomb.
Yep.
You and I don't necessarily go back that far, obviously, but it's no less appreciated.
Thank you, Beck.
Thank you, guys. Hey, man, I consider you all brothers. So,
you know that.
Thanks again, guys. Have a great night, and everybody, Rat Rod rocks. Find them, like them, love them, follow them, support them. Until next time, everybody. Light them up. Stay driven.
Right on.
Yep.
See you.
Light them up. Yep.